Hey, everybody, and welcome to another deep dive with us.
It's great to be here.
Today, we're diving into the really interesting concept of Apollonian and Dionysian forces.
Oh, yeah.
You know, this is something that we've gotten a lot of questions about from listeners.
Definitely a fascinating topic.
Yeah, and you've given me some really interesting material for this.
I did my best.
Including this piece from the Spiritual Seek website. And from what I can tell, we're going to be uncovering how these really, really ancient ideas still have relevance for us in our lives today.
Oh, yeah. They really permeate a lot of different aspects of life and thought.
Okay, so let's just start with the basics. Can you give us a quick refresher on who Apollo and Dionysus were and why their names are linked to this duality?
Sure. So in Greek mythology, Apollo and Dionysus were gods representing these kind of contrasting forces.
Mm-hmm.
Apollo, the god of reason, light, and order.
Mm-hmm.
He embodied this idea of structure, logic, and the pursuit of perfection. You could almost imagine him as a sculptor meticulously chiseling away at marble to create a masterpiece.
And Dionysus was quite the opposite then.
Yeah, Dionysus was the god of wine, ecstasy, and celebration, representing this raw, untamed energy of life, kind of a surrender to instinct and emotion. More like leading a wild dance under the moonlit sky.
Okay.
Embodying a kind of primal freedom.
So in a way, they represent two sides of human nature.
Definitely.
The head versus the heart.
Yeah.
The rational versus emotional.
Precisely. And philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche, who popularized these terms in the 19th century, saw these forces not as opposing, but as complementary.
Interesting.
Yeah, he argued that both the Apollonian and Dionysian impulses are essential for true art and really for a fulfilling life.
That makes sense because you need both structure and spontaneity.
Right.
Logic and intuition to create something truly beautiful and meaningful.
Exactly. And this idea resonated with other thinkers too, like psychologist Sigmund Freud, who drew a parallel between this duality and his concept of the id and the ego.
Oh, that's interesting. I remember learning about that. Can you remind us how that fits in here?
Sure. So Freud described the id as the primal instinctual part of our psyche. Driven by pleasure and immediate gratification, it's that impulsive child within us that wants what it wants when it wants it.
Mm-hmm.
Aligning closely with that Dionysian energy.
So very Dionysian.
Yes, very Dionysian.
And the ego is the more rational, controlling part of our personality.
Yeah.
The one that's constantly trying to keep the id in check.
Exactly.
And make sure we're, you know, functioning in society.
You got the ego operates on the reality principle.
Okay.
It mediates between the id's desires and the constraints of the external world. It's that voice of reason trying to make sensible decisions and plan for the future. So you could say it's more aligned with the Apollonian side.
More Apollonian, trying to create order out of chaos.
Yeah, bringing that structure.
So Freud was basically saying we need both the wildness of the id and the control of the ego to be psychologically healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Just like Nietzsche argued that we need both the Dionysian and Apollonian for true art.
Exactly. It's not about suppressing one side or the other, but finding that harmonious balance between these two fundamental forces within us. And the article from The Spiritual Seek dives deeper into the spiritual symbolism of these forces, suggesting that the Dionysian soul is about surrendering to the flow of life.
Mm-hmm.
Connecting to something larger than ourselves.
You know, when you were describing that, I was thinking about those whirling dervishes and shamanistic rituals.
Oh, yeah.
There's such a sense of ecstatic energy there, a complete surrender to the moment.
Yeah.
Is that what they're talking about?
Precisely. It's about transcending the limitations of our everyday rational minds and tapping into a deeper wellspring of intuition, creativity, and interconnectedness.
So how do we cultivate more of that Dionysian energy in our lives? Because it sounds amazing, but also a bit intimidating. Like, how do you just let go?
That's a great question, and it's something that takes practice and intention. The article suggests that things like meditation, dance, and spending time in nature can help us connect with our Dionysian side.
Yeah, I can see how those activities could help us quiet the mental chatter and tap into something more primal.
Exactly. Creating space for those intuitive, creative impulses to emerge, allowing ourselves to be moved by something larger than our own limited perspectives.
So important.
But remember, the Apollonian spirit is just as vital. It's what helps us ground those ecstatic experiences, giving them form and meaning.
So it's about that interplay again. The Dionysian expands our consciousness, connects us to the flow. And the Apollonian helps us integrate those experiences into our lives.
That's a beautiful way to put it. It's like the Dionysian energy is the wild, untamed river, and the Apollonian is the skilled boatman who navigates its currents.
I love that analogy.
Yeah.
So we need both the wildness of the river and the skill of the boatman to really experience the journey.
Precisely. And this idea of finding balance between seemingly opposite forces is not unique to Western thought.
Yeah, you're right. This reminds me a lot of the Eastern concept of yin and yang,
Right.
where seemingly opposite forces are actually complementary and interdependent.
That's a great connection, the yin, with its darkness receptivity and association with the feminine aligning with the Dionysian, while the yang, with its light activity and association with the masculine aligning with the Apollonian.
So it's the same idea. Neither can exist without the other.
Right.
It's about finding that sweet spot of harmony between these seemingly opposite forces.
Yeah.
But where does this duality show up in our everyday lives, besides, these extreme examples of whirling dervishes and ancient Greek gods?
Well, one area where this duality plays out really vividly is in our relationships.
Oh, interesting. As you were describing this, I was thinking about my own relationships. Do you think most people are even aware of how these forces are influencing their interactions with others?
I think it's something that often operates beneath the surface, but it definitely has a profound impact on how we relate to one another. Think about it. We all have both of these forces at play within us, and that inevitably influences our communication styles, our needs, and our expectations in our relationships.
So how do these forces actually manifest in our relationships? What would a Dionysian relationship look like compared to an Apollonian one?
Imagine a Dionysian relationship as this passionate dance,
Okay.
full of spontaneity, intense emotions, and a deep connection that transcends the ordinary. There's a sense of adventure and a willingness to surrender to the unknown.
So I see how that could be both incredibly enriching, but also potentially lead to some fireworks in a relationship.
Absolutely. In a healthy Dionysian relationship, that passion translates into deep emotional intimacy,
Yeah.
a shared sense of adventure, and a willingness to explore new experiences together. It's about embracing spontaneity, celebrating each other's individuality, and allowing the relationship to unfold organically.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah.
But I could also see how that intensity could lead to conflict if it's not balanced with some Apollonian energy.
You're exactly right. That's where the Apollonian side comes in, providing a sense of structure, stability, and communication in an Apollonian relationship. There's a strong emphasis on clear communication, shared values, and a commitment to working through challenges together.
So it's like having a really solid foundation that can withstand the occasional earthquake of passion.
Precisely, the Apollonian energy helps to ground the relationship, providing a sense of security and predictability that allows that Dionysian energy to flourish without leading to chaos.
Okay, so then what would an Apollonian relationship look like in practice?
An Apollonian relationship might be characterized by open communication, mutual respect, and a sense of stability. Think of a couple who enjoy spending quiet evenings together, discussing their day planning for the future, and consistently showing up for each other with reliability and care.
That sounds lovely, but could it also become a bit too predictable, even lacking that spark of spontaneity that the Dionysian energy brings?
That's certainly a possibility if the Apollonian side becomes too dominant. A healthy relationship needs a balance of both.
So it's not about being one or the other.
Right.
It's about finding that sweet spot where both forces can coexist and complement each other.
Exactly. The key is recognizing the strengths and weaknesses of both the Apollonian and Dionysian energies and finding ways to integrate them in a way that works for both partners.
So that makes sense. But what happens when there's an imbalance? Like, what if one partner is super Dionysian and the other is very Apollonian? Could that lead to conflict?
It certainly could imagine a Dionysian partner craving spontaneous adventures and intense emotional expression, while their Apollonian partner prefers planned outings and calm, rational discussions.
Yeah, I can see how that could create some friction. So how do couples navigate those differences? How can they find that balance when their natural inclinations are so different?
Well, the first step is awareness, recognizing that these forces are at play can help couples understand their own needs and appreciate the needs of their partner.
So it's about understanding that your partner isn't trying to be difficult. They're
Exactly.
just operating from a different energy.
Exactly. And once you have that understanding, you can start to communicate more effectively and find ways to compromise.
So maybe the Dionysian partner could encourage their Apollonian partner to be a little more spontaneous, while the Apollonian partner could help their Dionysian partner with planning and organization.
Precisely. It's about finding ways to meet each other's needs without sacrificing your own. And sometimes that means stepping outside of your comfort zone and embracing a bit of that other energy.
It's making me think about all the different relationships in my life. I bet you're starting to see these forces at play in your own life too. Where are you noticing them?
Well, to be honest, I'm seeing those Apollonian and Dionysian forces everywhere now. It's like you said, once you start noticing it, you can't unsee it.
I know, right? It's like the secret code to understanding human behavior. But let's shift gears a little bit. The source material also touches on how this duality shows up in broader contexts like politics.
Yes, and it's important to approach this topic with nuance. The article suggests that some people view political ideologies through this lens, but it's not about making sweeping generalizations or taking sides.
Right, we're just exploring another application of this concept. So what are some of the connections they draw between the Apollonian and Dionysian and different political ideologies?
Well, they suggest that some might see left-leaning ideologies as more aligned with the Dionysian energy pushing for social change, challenging traditional structures, embracing diversity, and sometimes even a bit of disruption.
Yeah, that makes sense. There's definitely a sense of wanting to shake things up to break free from the status quo, which seems very Dionysian.
Exactly. And on the other hand, they suggest that some might perceive right-leaning ideologies as more aligned with the Apollonian energy, emphasizing order, tradition, stability, and a more cautious approach to change.
So valuing those established structures and systems that bring a sense of predictability and control.
Right. And again, it's not about saying one side is right or wrong. It's simply a lens through which some people interpret the dynamics of political discourse.
Yeah, I think it's a fascinating observation. It kind of reframes the way we see those left versus right debates. Maybe instead of viewing it as a battle between two opposing sides, we can see it as this tension between these two fundamental human impulses, the urge to create and the need for order.
That's a really insightful way to look at it. And perhaps by recognizing these underlying forces, we can have more productive conversations about our political differences.
Yeah, maybe instead of trying to defeat the other side, we can focus on finding that balance point, that sweet spot where both the Dionysian and Apollonian can contribute to a healthy society.
Exactly. It's like what we were talking about with relationships. It's not about eliminating one side or the other, but about finding ways to integrate them. We need both the creative energy of the Dionysian to challenge outdated systems, A and D, that Apollonian focus on structure in order to ensure stability and progress.
I love how this concept applies to so many different aspects of life. It really is a powerful framework for understanding ourselves and the world around us.
It certainly is. And speaking of different aspects of life, the article also touches upon the connection between this duality and masculine and feminine energies.
Oh, yes. And I know we need to be really careful here because we're not talking about traditional gender roles or making assumptions about people based on their gender identity.
Absolutely. This is about understanding these energies as archetypes that exist within all of us, regardless of our gender. It's about recognizing the interplay of these forces within our own individual psyches.
So what are they referring to when they talk about masculine and feminine energies in this context?
They suggest that masculine energy in this archetypal sense is associated with action assertion, outward focus, and a drive towards achievement and individual expression.
It's like that drive to create, to build, to make a mark on the world.
Exactly. And they associate feminine energy in this archetypal sense with qualities like nurturing, receptivity, intuition, connection, and an inward focus on emotional and spiritual well-being.
So that nurturing, empathetic energy that fosters relationships and creates a sense of harmony?
Precisely. And again, it's not about saying men are masculine and women are feminine. It's about recognizing that these energies exist within all of us, and we can learn to tap into both as needed.
So we all have that inner warrior and that inner nurturer, that drive to achieve, and that capacity for deep connection. And it's about finding that balance, right?
You got it. It's about recognizing which energy might be dominant for you at any given time and learning how to access the other energy when needed.
I'm curious, how do you see these masculine and feminine energies playing out in your own life?
Well, I think in my work, I definitely tap into that masculine energy of focus analysis and clear communication. But in my personal life, I find myself drawn to activities that nurture my feminine energy, like spending time in nature, connecting with loved ones, and exploring my creativity through art and music.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
And for me, I think I naturally lean towards that feminine energy of empathy and connection. But I'm also learning to embrace my masculine energy when it comes to setting boundaries, advocating for myself, and pursuing my goals with more confidence.
It sounds like you're finding that balance within yourself, which is wonderful.
I'm trying.
Yeah.
But it's definitely a journey. And I think that's what's so fascinating about this whole concept of the Apollonian and Dionysian. It's not about achieving some perfect state of balance, yeah, but about recognizing the constant interplay of these forces within us and around us.
Absolutely. And I think that awareness, that ability to see these forces at play, can help us navigate life's complexities with more grace and understanding.
It's like having a new set of lenses through which to view the world, and suddenly everything makes a little more sense.
Precisely. And speaking of seeing the world differently, this deep dive has really opened my eyes to how these ancient concepts can offer us valuable insights into modern life.
Me too. Yeah. It's like we've uncovered this hidden treasure of wisdom that's been passed down through generations.
And the best part is that it's a treasure that's available to all of us. We all have the capacity to tap into these forces and learn from them.
So what are some practical ways that our listener can apply this knowledge to their own life? What's the invitation here?
Well, I think the first step is simply to pay attention, to start noticing how these forces are playing out in your own life, in your relationships, your work, your creative pursuits, your political views, even your inner world of thoughts and emotions.
So it's about becoming aware of those moments when you're leaning heavily into one energy or the other. Mm-hmm. Like, are you pushing yourself to achieve at the expense of your well-being? Or are you getting so caught up in connecting with others that you're neglecting your own needs?
Exactly. And once you start to develop that awareness, you can then begin to experiment with ways to find more balance.
So maybe if you're feeling burnt out from constantly pushing yourself, you might intentionally create space for activities that nurture your feminine energy, like taking a long bath, spending time in nature, or connecting with loved ones.
Precisely. Or if you're feeling overwhelmed by emotions or indecision, you might tap into your masculine energy by setting clear boundaries, making a plan, and taking decisive action.
It's about recognizing that both energies are valuable and finding ways to honor both within ourselves.
Absolutely. And remember, there's no right or wrong way to do this. It's about finding what works for you and your unique circumstances.
So what are your final thoughts for a listener today? What do you want them to take away from this deep dive into the Apollonian and Dionysian?
I think the most important thing is to remember that this duality isn't just some abstract concept. It's a living, breathing reality that plays out in our lives every single day.
It's in our relationships, our work, our art, our politics. It's everywhere.
Exactly. And once you start to see it, you can't unsee it. It's like putting on a new pair of glasses and suddenly seeing the world in a whole new way.
That's a great analogy.
Yeah.
And you know what? I think that's what makes this deep dive so powerful. It's not just about learning new information. It's about shifting our perspective, seeing the world through this new lens.
Exactly. And the invitation is to take this awareness and apply it to your own life.
Yeah.
You know, just see where those Apollonian and Dionysian energies are showing up. Are you leaning too heavily on one side? What would it look like to find more balance?
And the article that you gave me actually includes this little quiz to help you assess your own Apollonian and Dionysian tendencies.
Oh, yeah. It's a fun little exercise, just a starting point for self-reflection. But I think the real work happens when you start to observe these energies in action in your everyday life.
Yeah, because it's not about labeling yourself as one or the other. It's recognizing that we all have both of these forces within us. And it's kind of that interplay between them that makes us who we are.
Absolutely. And the more we understand those forces, the more skillfully we can navigate all the complexities of our inner and outer worlds.
It's like having this secret map for understanding ourselves and other people a little bit better.
I love that. It's like we've been given this key to unlock a deeper level of self-awareness and understanding.
Well, I feel like we've really unpacked a lot in this deep dive. It's been so fascinating to explore how this ancient concept is still so relevant to our lives today.
Me too. Yeah. It's amazing how these ideas, you know, passed down through centuries can offer us such profound insights into the human experience.
And I think that's the beauty of knowledge, isn't it? It has this power to connect us across time and cultures, to help us see ourselves and the world around us in these new and illuminating ways.
Beautifully said. And on that note, I think we've reached the end of our deep dive for today.
Ah, but the journey of exploration doesn't end here.
Yeah.
We encourage you to keep thinking about this duality, keep observing it in your own life, and keep seeking that balance within yourself.
And if you're out there and you find yourself craving a little more Dionysian energy, just put on some music and dance like nobody's watching.
Or if you need a bit more Apollonian structure, make a list, set a timer, and get organized. It's all about finding what works for you.
Exactly. So until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep diving deep.
Happy diving, everyone.